Now I move on here, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Now, may I say to you, God is our Father by creation, but man lost that image. And today, we can become sons of God in only one way, and that is through Christ. The New Testament revelation of the sons of God is not by creation at all, but on a different basis. John, in John 1, 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now you see here, this verse recognizes God as our creator. And he's a potter instead of a fodder. He's one that creates. Now, a man that makes a vessel, that is a pretty vase, he's sort of the father of it. We speak of George Washington being the father of his country because he was the first president. But my gracious, there are a lot of other fathers that are around. And in this sense, God is the potter. He's the creator. And we need to recognize that there is a distinction there. And Paul made it when he was speaking yonder in Athens. In Acts 17, 28 and 29, he says, for in him, that is God, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. You see, but not his son, not born again sons of God. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver, stone, graven by art, man's device. In other words, God created us. Therefore, we ought not to make an image and say that that image is a picture of God. We're attempting to create God, and God has forbidden that. Now, we drop down to verse 10. He says, thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Now, this was not true in Isaiah's day, but it came to pass shortly after Isaiah when Babylon came against Jerusalem. And in 2 Kings 25, we're told what he did. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem. And every great man's house burnt he with fire, and all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now this was literally, you see, fulfilled. Now we are told here in verse 11, our holy and our beautiful house where our fathers praised thee is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Isaiah writes of it as if it's happened. But it didn't happen until about 100 years after Isaiah. The temple was destroyed at the same time that Jerusalem was destroyed. And then verse 12, wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very so? In other words, the prophet closes here with a question. Will God refuse that? Well, the remainder of the prophecy of Isaiah is God's answer. God only rejected them after they rejected God. But it did not thwart God's plan and purpose for them and for the earth, because God carried through what he said he would do, and he's yet to finalize that program, by the way.